extremely careless. Republicans jumped on the old statute, making it a felony to handle classified information in a grossly negligent way, a statute that justice would never use in this case. But my use of extremely careless naturally sounded to many ears like the statutory language, grossly negligent, even though thoughtful lawyers could see why it wasn't the same. I spent hours responding to congressional questions about it, and it became a talking point for those interested in attacking the FBI and the Department of Justice. Other than those two things, and in spite of the political shots directed at me since, am I supposedly being fired because of it? I would do the same thing again at that announcement, because I still believe it was the best available alternative to protect and preserve the Department of Justice's and the FBI's reservoir of trust with the American people. After a September congressional hearing, despite all the criticism, at least I could say the Bureau was rid of this awful case. We had offered transparency, tried to show the American people competence, honesty, and independence, and now the presidential campaign could run its course. Months later, during our January 27, 2017 dinner, President Trump told me that I had saved her with my July press conference. That was not my intention, just as I did not intend to save him with what came later. The goal was to tell the truth and demonstrate what higher loyalty to the institutions of justice looks like. So my deputy director was right. We really were screwed, and it was as painful as anticipated. We had tasted the poison of our political system, and I had taken all the hits I anticipated, but I also felt great relief because the FBI and I were finished with Hillary Clinton and her emails. If only.
Chapter 11. Speak or Conceal. Safety lies in the prosecutor who tempers zeal with human kindness, who seeks truth and not victims, who serves the law and not factional purposes, and who approaches his task with humility. Robert H. Jackson, Supreme Court Justice. Although the Clinton email case seemed like the center of the universe to the Washington political class, the FBI was actually involved in many other important matters. During the summer of 2016, we were working like crazy to understand what the Russians were up to. Evidence within the intelligence community strongly suggested that the Russian government was trying to interfere in the election in three ways. First, they sought to undermine confidence in the American democratic enterprise, to dirty us up so that our election process would no longer be an inspiration to the rest of the world. Second, the Russians wanted to hurt Hillary Clinton. Putin hated her, blaming her personally for large street demonstrations against him in Moscow in December 2011. Putin believed Clinton had given a signal to demonstrators by publicly criticizing what she called troubling practices before and during the parliamentary vote in Russia that year. She said, "The Russian people, like people everywhere, deserve the right to have their voices heard and their votes counted." Putin took that as an unforgivable personal attack. Third, Putin wanted to help Donald Trump win. Trump had been saying favorable things about the Russian government, and Putin had shown a long-standing appreciation for business leaders who cut deals rather than stand on principle. At the heart of the Russian interference campaign was the release of damaging emails stolen from organizations and individuals associated with the Democratic Party. There were also indications of an extensive Russian effort to penetrate voter registration databases maintained by the states. In late July, the FBI learned that a Trump campaign foreign policy advisor named George Papadopoulos had been discussing, months earlier, obtaining from the Russian government emails damaging to Hillary Clinton. Based on this information, the FBI opened an investigation to try to understand whether Americans, including any associated with the Trump campaign, were working in any way with the Russians in their influence effort. As with the Clinton email investigation, for months the Bureau resisted all calls from reporters and other outside observers to confirm an investigation was underway. It was simply too early. We didn't know whether we had anything to go on, and we wouldn't want to tip off any of the individuals we were examining. The FBI and the Department of Justice did not officially confirm our investigation, and then only in a general way, until March 2017. A harder question was whether during the heat of a presidential campaign to tell the American people more about the overall Russian effort to influence the election. President Obama and his national security team wrestled with that question throughout August and September. At one meeting with the president, we discussed whether some kind of public inoculation made sense. That is, arming the American people with knowledge of the hostile effort to influence their voting decisions might help blunt its impact. I said I was tired of being the guy at the podium with controversial news, especially after the beating I had taken since the July 5th announcement, but I was willing to be the voice on this, absent any alternatives. I also acknowledged to the president that an inoculation effort might accidentally accomplish the Russians' goal of undermining confidence in our election system. If you tell Americans that the Russians are tampering with the election, have you just sowed doubt about the outcome or given one side an excuse for why they lost? This was very tricky. President Obama saw the dilemma clearly and said he was determined not to help the Russians achieve their goal of undermining faith in our process. The administration continued to consider the idea of inoculation and what that might look like. A few days later, to offer an option as the Obama team deliberated, I followed up on the idea of providing a voice of inoculation by drafting and sharing within the administration a newspaper opinion piece in my name. It laid out what the Russians were doing with the dumping of stolen emails, highlighted hacking aimed at state voter databases, and place those activities in the context of historical Russian election disruption efforts. I intended that as a warning to the American people, but there was no decision. The Obama team's deliberations were, as usual, extensive, thoughtful, and very slow. I suspected a major factor in their deliberations was the universal view of pollsters that Donald Trump had no chance. During a September meeting about the Russian effort, I remember President Obama reflecting that confidence in the outcome, saying of Putin, "He backed the wrong horse." Why risk undermining faith in our electoral process, he seemed to conclude, when the Russian efforts were making no difference? And why give Donald Trump the excuse to blame Obama for frightening the American people? He was going to lose anyway. Finally, a month later, in early October, the Obama team decided some kind of formal statement from the administration was in order after all. The Director of National Intelligence, Jim Clapper, and the Secretary of Homeland Security, Jay Johnson, were prepared to sign it. The FBI leadership team and I decided that there was not an adequate reason for us to also sign on. By that point,